Well, this is kind of long overdue, really. But wanted to tell you my testimony and some of the things that I've been through growing up. I kind of wanted to start off with this. There was a philosopher and a famous chef. And these two were having, you know, a time of their life, a lively discussion. And the famous chef came out, and he prepared this three-course prefix, you know, tour de force, and brought all the food out. And as they were having a lively discussion, this philosopher actually said to him, "You are the sum of all your experiences." And the chef, you know, he's, okay, the sum of all these experiences, I see. Well, and this famous chef quipped, "Well, I am the sum of all that I eat, but oftentimes it depends on whatever scale that I'm on." And then the philosopher said to him, "Well, that's because," and he laughed. He said, "Well, that's because you're just fat." And, you know, he was fat. That's true. He was a fat. But it says a lot about, I think, my life, in that the sum of all experiences. And I've kind of carried that mantra throughout. How do I develop myself? How do I go out and experience more? And kind of like that chef, you know, he was kind of fattened, but he was fattened with experience. And I think that is such a big thing, growing up as a Christian. In many ways, when I grew up in Arizona. Arizona, you know, is primarily Caucasian. There's a lot of Hispanics there. And it's for Asians growing up, it's a very insular environment, even more insular than actually the Bay Area, because most of all your friends you can count on your fingers. And there's about five of them, and they're all Asians most of the time, besides, you know, your high school friends and so forth. And so you grow up with a very small, close community. And it makes good for, you know, growing up, but oftentimes you need to also reach out and get out into the world and experience more. So one Bible verse actually comes to mind, and I've kind of carried that through my life, and it's Proverbs 17:3. "The crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart." And the question out there is, how does the Lord test your heart? Well, you've got to go and experience something until you can be tested, right? You can't be at your house, you know, in front of your computer just all day long doing nothing. You've got to go out there and you've got to feel, you've got to learn about others around you, and you just got to take the adventure. And so my first few years, it was, you know, it was pretty stable. You know, you're in second grade, your mom takes you to church, so forth. My dad actually has kind of a miraculous conversion, but I'm not going to go into that because that's his testimony, not mine. And so, you know, I had a typical Christian upbringing. And my memory of church oftentimes, you know, I threw a football onto a roof one time, and as a kid, I was like, "Whoa, oh my gosh, I'm going to get in trouble." It was somebody else's football. So, and then you know, all the Bible verses, you know, and at that time, you know, Michael Jackson was hot. You know, just like the 80s. That's how old I am. The 80s, 90s, right? Michael Jackson was so hot. So you're singing the songs in your head, and you're, you know, reciting Bible verses. That's what happens probably now. It's not Michael Jackson anymore. But some things never change. And so at the time, by the time I was 14, I made a good decision. I made the decision to actually get baptized. And I was baptized with three other youth members. And it was kind of an event for our church because our youth group had, once again, count the fingers, had like six kids, you know, six Asian kids. And I was one of four among them. And Yeah, and so if my testimony ended there, which it could, that would be a good story. But God was preparing me for other things, more of the extraordinary than the ordinary. And so in the coming years, I felt that God really breathed life into a lot of these experiences. One of them actually occurred when I was in college, and a very good one, a one that I would recommend for college students, is to join one of the groups out there, one of the Christian groups. I don't know if Campus Crusade's around. InterVarsity is still very big. And I was very involved with InterVarsity when I was there. You know, it changed my life. It changed my life. I had actually worked with leadership at one point and gone to, they have this annual trip. I don't know if it's still in Colorado, but I think there's different areas. This was the Southwest Division, and so I went with a group of them up to this Colorado camp. And I recall, it was really different for me because I've never been in so close contact with their leadership. Once again, please put me back into, you know, the backdrop of Arizona. And so everybody was generally Caucasian. And they also had their kind of, you know, their themes and the way they, like, they have fun and so forth. The major theme at that camp was, how do we change the world for God locally? And that was something that kind of is around now. That was like 10 years ago. It was there 10 years ago and in leadership. How do you go about changing your campus locally? How do you reach out to the people right next to you? My thought at that time when I was a leader was that, hey, there's a lot of people on our campus. This is at the University of Arizona. That's about like probably 2% Asian as well. But how do I go out and reach that campus? And I thought to myself, hey, there's a lot of people that are speaking English as a second language. And there's not a lot of Asians out there. I can go reach out to them. And I can reach out, and I can build a bridge. And I thought of my small group at that time, that I can go out and reach those people. And oftentimes they come to me. They say, hey, I know you. So forth. Can you teach me English? And I'd be like, okay, yeah, no problem. And so that was my calling at that time. And I thought, wow, this is such a big idea. I don't even know how to capture it, put it into a package. How do I go about and actually do it? Well, this leadership conference really helped me. I learned a couple things. You know, first, how to build a small group, very important. Cross that off, checked. Second of all, they loved, you know, the guys at least at that group, they loved just being together in the best way. And it's kind of a funny thing. They actually taught me how to wrestle. I don't know if you've ever heard of wrestling. Well, it's like wrestling, but in a WWF style. So it was the way they kind of bonded together, and we bonded together. And it was something else. And so after that trip, I was ready. Change the world, the winds of college, youth, spiritual high, they're all there. All the elements were there. I got back to campus, and it was good as well. The leadership at InterVarsity was really pushing, plugging me away. I think at that time they had probably 10 to 12 groups. And I was leading the small group, reaching out to overseas, international students, really. And so I'm going to not go into all the details of it, but it was a great, great experience. And I would definitely recommend, if you're a college student, to go out there and join one of the groups. Join InterVarsity, join Campus Crusade, join something small, because it'll change your life, it'll change your world. You have to go out there to experience something new. leading up to my time with InterVarsity, I also had the brief opportunity to actually go to Urbana. Urbana actually is hosted in Illinois. I'm sure it's, I looked on the website recently, and it's still ongoing. 10,000 or so students actually gather. There's a lot of training, but one of the best parts about Urbana is that you actually have communion with 10,000 other students, around the same age as you are. And I went during 2000. One of the speakers then was a guy named Jimmy McGee. He was quite amazing. He had actually lost his voice. He was talking, you know, a storm up there. And I remember back then, he lost his voice mid-stage. And nobody really knew what happened. I mean, it was just kind of like, he was talking, and then you don't hear his voice anymore. Well, after some prayer on stage, he came roaring back. And at that time, I didn't really understand the significance of it. But that was the first time I actually saw what I felt, a miracle. Because the guy lost his voice mid-stage. And it was very hushed, and nobody understood what was happening. And then all the leaders on stage, they gathered together quietly, and they prayed for him. And then his voice just came back, just like it was nothing had changed. And I remember that changed just my view of things. And like I said, I had communion with 10,000 other fellow college students. It was great. It was great. So if you have the chance, join InterVarsity. Go experience something. You are the sum of your experiences. I was to experience a whole lot. I actually had moved to California, raising a family. I had actually lost a loved one as well. You know, success, failure. You know, I actually had quit a job to start a venture. And Proverbs 17:3 comes back to mind. The crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. When you put all your experiences into that furnace, into that crucible, what will happen? Will it be meaningful? That's what you have to say to yourself. Will it be meaningful at the very end? It has been meaningful, and it has been extraordinary for me over the years. And I want to thank Canaan for being there all these years. You know, I've raised a family here, and it has become my spiritual home. Thank you again.
Thank you, Alex. Let me give you this. Alex. I know. This is a certificate, right?
Sort of like commencement. Thank you very much, Alex. Well, thank you for sharing your testimony. I'm sure there's a lot more I would love to know about your experiences. And I pray that your stay here, you, Sylvie, and your kids, will be a continuous opportunity for growth and discovery. Let's go to the collection of our offering, and then afterwards we have another special celebration. I will say more about that later. As you know, offering is a time for God's people to respond to God's grace in ways that are more material, that are more real. So as we collect the offering today, please remember that this is for those of you who feel called and ready to share, to give back to God what He has given to you. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward after I pray, and then we'll just collect the offering. We thank you, God, for this opportunity to worship you today, to come with our burdens, with our struggles, with our trials, but to come here before you and give them all to you. We thank you that you've given to us so much joy in life. You've given us one another. The testimonies of friends who have joined us, friends who are visiting us, just to encourage us to know that you are real, your grace is real, and all the things that make up our lives, the sum of the parts of our lives, are in your hands. So as we give, let us give with gratitude and appreciation for all that you have done for us and what you mean to us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Chris. And you understand in a moment. I'm going to invite Tim and Francis and Chris, Pastor Chris, to come up. So come on up. Okay. Yeah, right here is fine. In front of the table. You all know how Tim and Francis have been so important to our church. They've served as youth counselors, small group leaders, and many other. They've expressed and led and have used their spiritual gifts in so many ways. So I'm going to leave this up for you, Chris, to announce what this is all about. Okay? Can I do that? Okay.
Sure. Right. So Tim and Fran, they. Talked to Pastor Tim and I a couple weeks ago, and they had mentioned that since they had moved to San Mateo and their jobs are now up in San Francisco area, and they will be leaving Canaan, and they're going to be going to another church elsewhere. And so I've known Tim and Fran for a really long time. I actually know them from different places. Fran was one of my first youth kids when I was in just out of college, and I was serving at UFC Irvine, and she was one of the youth kids there. And then Tim grew up at Canaan, Canaan in high school, so I kind of knew them from two different places. And then they eventually got married, and that was weird, where two worlds kind of collided from two different youth groups. It's kind of weird. My sister, I think, was the one who hooked them up. But anyways, so I've known them for a long time, and it's been really cool. Like, Fran was on my core team back at Irvine, and Tim, you know, served at a lot of places just throughout their lives. They've just been serving everywhere they've gone. So we've been really blessed to have them here at Canaan. Again, they helped out at as one of the counselors here at youth group. So I know a lot of the college students, like Phoebe and Terrence and them back there, were part of they're under their shepherd, under their guidance. And then they've also really helped out with our young adult groups, starting small groups. And the last year, the planning for our YA getaway, they kind of push that for that, and so we've been really blessed by them, and we're sad to see them go, but we know that God is going to continue to use them wherever they go, that they'll serve at the next church that they're at, and that God will continue to use them and bless them. And so we're just wanted to thank them for what they've done, and yeah, and I guess they might have a few words to say as well, so pass it over to them.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Yeah, it's, you know, a tough, you know, decision to go ahead and move on. You know, just want to make it short and sweet, but, you know, we really appreciate just all the relationships and opportunities we've had here at Canaan just to, you know, come and serve and you know, be, you know, youth leaders and just being a part of young adult and everything. So, yeah, we just really appreciate all the relationships and friendships and, you know, I think those will be able to, you know, continue. It's not like an end or anything, but we'll just be farther, you know, farther up, up north. So, yeah, I'll just pass it on.
Pretty much what Tim said, you know. Pretty much what Tim said. And yeah, I think what we're really going to, you know, really miss is, like, the community. Okay. Pretty much what Tim said, and what we're really going to miss is, you know, the community and the relationships we've built throughout the years. But like Tim said, it's not an end, you know. You guys can, we'll still keep in contact with a lot of you guys, because a lot of you guys are still, you know, our friends and our family from, you know, outside of this church community. And so, yeah, just thank you for having us and all that. Thanks.
Can you all stand up and let's pray for Tim and Francis and close our sharing time together. Gracious God, we are feeling both a sense of joy for Tim and Francis as they head out and find your calling in another ministry context. And we're also joyful in remembrance of all the good things that they have experienced with us, the service to this church, and just the friendships that have emerged. But we also feel a sadness because they are stepping away from the kind of relationship that bonds that we really value as members of this church, as brothers and sisters in fellowship. So I just pray that you watch over them as they head forth. Help us to do our best to keep the relationships going afterwards. And welcome them back. If God calls them back, we want them to come back with open arms, and we want them to experience the love that you have provided for us all here together. So as we dismiss this time portion of our service, may your spirit continue to pervade us and give us this larger sense of fellowship, so that all that we do together, whether it's welcoming Alex, whether it's sending off Tim and Francis, or even learning about how God you're using other people to grow in faith and ministry. We just thank you for this time of fellowship and sharing. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks a lot. Please be seated. Or rather, stay standing and go greet each other. Say hello. And then, thank you, Chris. And then I have a few announcements, and we'll get to our reception. Yes, reception.